I'm going to be reading 2 Kings chapter 2 verses 1 through 14. It's a familiar story of when the prophet Elijah ascends into heaven, and his mantle of power falls to Elisha. Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You've asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water, the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. The word of the Lord.
Luke is one of my favorite books. In the first part of chapter 9, I'm reading chapter 9, 51 through the end of it. As the time approached for him, Jesus, to be taken up to heaven, kind of goes with Karen's scripture, he resolutely set out for Jerusalem. This was his last visit to Jerusalem. There'll be the Passion and the Resurrection. And he sent messengers on ahead. They went to Samaritan village to get things ready for him, but the people there did not welcome him because he was heading for Jerusalem. Samaritans didn't kind of like to go to Jerusalem. They didn't believe this that way. When the disciples, James and John, saw this, they asked the Lord, "Shall we call fire down upon them and burn them up?" But Jesus turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of God has no place to lie his head." The fox was Herod, the king of that time, and the birds was the eagle of Rome. They have their place, but Jesus had no place in that realm. He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me bury my father." That's a good request. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury the dead, their own dead. But you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Seems like a good request. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the service of the kingdom of God." Then, first verse of the next chapter. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them by twos to go ahead of him into the cities where he was going to be going. The word of the Lord.
Please join me in a prayer. Gracious God, bless us on this day as we feel the call to go out into the world. Help us not to look back. Help us to keep striving, keeping our eyes on the prize, the eye of Christ before our hearts. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. A simple message for today, for the young people, but for all of us. Don't look back. Don't look back. You know, it's easy sometimes to look back and, oh, the way things were, you know, get the violins going. We do that a lot in churches. You know, a lot of my colleagues in the church, a lot of us are saying, oh, the way things were back in the 1980s, 1990s, so many people were coming to church. Okay, everybody play their like violin. Okay, the way things were. Where is Christ calling us now? How are we going to go forward? Where are we charged to honor everyone and love one another? How are we going to do it? Jesus is saying, go forward. A lot of us in our work, as we deal with corruption in this world, a lot of people kind of say to themselves, "Oh, things were so much better, you know, so much better before the Wall Street crash." Really? Are you serious? We human beings have a tendency to romanticize the things that happened in the past, the way things were. Jesus calls us to go forward. And Jesus is radical. In a sense, it's interesting. One of the stories that's told there is there's a man who says, "I want to go bury my father," which actually is a law, like required in the book of the Bible. Like, you're required to honor your parents. It's a good thing. But Jesus is saying to radical hospitality, radical justice, you got to keep going forward. You got to keep moving. Not that we shouldn't love our parents. He's not saying that. But we got to keep moving forward. We can't romanticize stuff. As you young people go down to Puerto Rico, there might be a temptation to say, "Oh, I wish I was back home and I had my games, or I had my computer, or I had my phone." We're probably going to put limitations on phones, y'all. I hate to tell you that. But we're going to strip things down. We're going to strip things down so that we're living, looking forward, not looking down at our phones. Right? And I think that's a challenge for everybody. While we're going out in the world and we're minimizing phone time, maybe you too can be in that practice with us. Will it change your life, not looking down, but looking forward, looking ahead? Do you see your neighbors more clearly? There might be other things that we've got to do too, in terms of relishing making new friends, and not looking back and you know, thinking about our girlfriend or boyfriend that we left back at home. But it's all about new relationships that we're in right now. It's all about looking forward. A lot of you in the congregation, maybe you're in a place in your life where, like my parents, they're losing a lot of their friends right now. You know, they're about 77 years old. A lot of their friends are dying. And it's hard for them. And I hear them saying, they catch themselves, but I hear them saying, "Oh man, I so wish my friends," and there's this nostalgia a little bit that takes them out from living right here and now. That's something that's going to happen throughout your life. There's easy ways to romanticize our relationships and not living right here, right now. One of the other challenges is to be thinking about how you're going to create new relationships and have a new mission. And I can't give you easy answers, but what I can give you is an example of some people in our congregation who are people that I admire because they're always looking forward. It doesn't matter what age you're at. It matters what your mind and your heart say about moving forward and keep on keeping on.